Here's what could have happened. I don't want him to show that to me. That would be bad. Guys, you can, I got the lesson already, and so much has happened to me this week, and all has to do with today being 18 years old. And it has nothing to do with today's lesson, so we're going to do today's lesson next week. And I just want to talk to you a minute about us being 18 years old and our birthday. It's a big day for me, 18 years. And like I say, it has so many coincidences, but I don't like to brag. I mean, I really don't. I think bragging shows insecurity. But I got to do a little bragging today. But I want you to know before we get started that it ain't really about me or the elders or the church. It's about what God's doing. Amen. It really is. Amen. And so I want to tell you today about, or I want to talk about where we at. You know, and I think about you guys. Some of you guys don't know where we're at and or where we come from or and where we're going. And I want to tell you what's on my mind as your pastor. And some of it's just been kind of, you know, I've been up most of the morning. When I say most of the morning, probably since 3 o'clock. Went to bed. Well, I went and laid down at halftime. Tennessee game wasn't worth watching, so I read a Western. It was much better. But I've been thinking about this a lot over the past 2 or 3 days, And I think I need to tell you our story. We're going to get our story told in a book, probably one of these days, in a video maybe, kind of a short one of it, but we're going to do that. But our story begins, can you show me that picture, the three guys? Our story began really back around 95. Have you got that picture? Leave that up there. Did you notice? Did you notice Paxton's hat, Promise Keepers? Yeah. You guys are old. Well, our story really started. That was about 95, wasn't it? 94, 95. And it was a winter messed up day. Man, it was snow and ice on the road. Me and Paxton and David all live within, 2 miles of each other. David's house being in the center, we're on in. And it was really bad that day on Sunday, and David was chairman of the deacons, me and Paxton was deacons, and we had a lot of older people in our church at Darrisville Baptist that time, so we made a decision that we wasn't going to have church that day. But I taught Sunday school, I taught the eighth graders, and I said, well, I thought, well, it's a shame to waste this lesson. And Tammy can play the piano. And so we sort of had church that day. And I believe it was out of that day that North Point was birthed. And that's that day that they took that picture. That was that day. That's what we looked like. We were misfits. And it wasn't long we had a business meeting. It was when my sister had an aneurysm. And somehow we had a deacon's meeting at the church. And it wasn't a good deacon's meeting. They were just mad at one another over something. And it wasn't like our business meetings. And I remember it wasn't the kind of church that I dreamed of. And I told them that day that I dreamed of a church that was filled with misfits. I dreamed of a church that would love the unlovable. I dreamed of a church that would love you no matter what you look like and no matter where you came from, and that would go after every beaten heart in society. I dreamed of that church. And several years later, God wouldn't let me alone because it wasn't that church that I was in that was called to do that. And God wouldn't let me alone about this this dream of a volunteer church. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but everybody that's here is a volunteer. Me, musicians, everyone. There is no paid person whatsoever at North Point Church. It's a different church. We're different. But I dreamed of that kind of church. One with missions all over the world. I dreamed of it. Acts 2. Let me just read you Acts 2. And that's my goal as a pastor, is to become as close to this church as any. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had in need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the church that I dreamed of. And something like that. And that I wanted. I knew then that I would probably be the pastor of it. I kind of wanted to be the temporary pastor. And I've been your pastor temporarily for 18 years. And then I got scared. I went to David and Paxton and I told them, you know what I felt God was calling me to do, and I needed them to go with me. And they said they would. Then I got scared again. Be honest with you, I was just scared of failing. I was afraid people wouldn't laugh at me. I was just afraid the old gym would be a laughing stock. They'd laugh at me at work. Everybody knew me in town. I was a mailman on the front desk, and everyone knew me. I was afraid they'd laugh. And so I quit talking about it. Once they said okie dokie, I quit talking about it. It was all right until they said they was ready to go too. It probably went on for about a year. We quit talking about it. Nobody said nothing. David and I spent a week in Terre Haute, Indiana, together in a motel on a mission trip. Neither one of us spoke of it that whole week or on the way up there and back. And I got back and God wouldn't leave me alone about it. I'm like, gosh, you're getting annoying. I mean, it was to that point where it was annoying, it was fearful, and every time I had a moment of thought to myself, he would bring the pictures of my friends up that had been killed or in prison. He said, I want you to build a place for folks like them. For the folks that society don't love anymore. I said, God, you got the wrong one. I'm scared. I can't speak. I don't even pronounce words right. I'll do what you need to do. I'll help somebody else. But I ain't the one. And you know that. I ain't the one. He just wouldn't stop. Well, it's one particular night in July or August of 98. I didn't tell him, just like a lot of you married couples, y'all don't communicate about everything, do you? Angie didn't know I was scared. It's probably the most fearful time of my life. God just would not. He woke me up somewhere around midnight, and he would not stop. All that was on my mind was starting this church, and I kept saying no, 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 no. And I just cried and I cried and I said, okay, God, I'm scared. There it is. You got it. I'm a scared little man. And I can't do it. I hated saying I couldn't do something. And I hated saying I was scared. I finally got off to sleep, and I always woke up before Angie and went to work before she did. She was gone. She didn't know I was going through any of this. And like I said, we hadn't mentioned it in a year. And she said, her note said, "Jim, I was reading my Bible last night, and I read this passage." She says, "It's rather an obscure passage, but as soon as I got through reading it, I just felt that the Lord wanted me to give it to you to read." She's never done that before, and I don't think she has since then. She said, "Go to 1 Chronicles 22, beginning in verse 11. And here's what it says. Now, my son, the Lord be with you. And may you have success and build the house of the Lord your God as he said you would. May the Lord give you discretion and understanding when he puts you in command over Israel, so that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will have success if you are careful to observe the decrees and the laws that the Lord gave Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged." Whew. I called Paxton and David right then. Called David first because he wakes up before Paxton. And I said, "I think it's time. We haven't talked about it, but God has spoke to me through my wife and through Scripture that it's time to start this church." Now, we didn't have a name for it then. The name for our church came later after many meetings and many, many meetings where we weren't the happiest with each other. Amen? You get six different leaders with six different opinions, and they're going to be some sparks flying. So for the next 3 months, we went before the church and told them what we were going to do. And for the next 3 months, we visited different churches. And then we kind of knew it was time. And we didn't want to bring other people from other churches around here into it. We believed that we wanted to look for people without a church. And we didn't want to have a group of people and tear other churches down. And so we wanted folks that didn't have a church. I know. So we waited, like I say, those 3 months, and we went around, and then on Sunday nights we got together. We got real close during those times. And for 6 weeks, so we started meeting the last Sunday in October, this Sunday, 18 years ago. And volunteers, that's the way we set it up, volunteers. And then show that other picture. We met, the adults met in Dave and Tammany's living room. Then the kids met in my garage. And my wife and David taught the kids. You know, Angie didn't even get to hear me speak for the first 6 weeks of church. But that old cardboard, they didn't have a cross in the garage, so Angie made this cardboard cross because the kids, many of whom just gave birth, Blake, they have children now. The kids would come up to this cross. Let me tell you something. They prayed for y'all. They prayed for the future of this church. Did y'all know that? You were prayed for by little kids. You can still see the smudges of their hands on the cardboard. It says, "In a garage, children once prayed with their small hands on a paper cross. Although their surroundings were common, it was a sanctuary nonetheless. And though their cross was simply drawn and cut from cardboard, it was no less precious than one of pure gold. The value of a church or a cross comes not from the materials from which it's made, but rather the promise and the love that each holds." Little kids who are grown now. Some are still here, some are gone. They prayed for you guys. Those kids wrote verses under this carpet. Isn't that something? The things that happened 18 years ago that some of you knew nothing about. You're here. You're healed, maybe. Your marriage is restored. You're saved and you have a relationship with God just because some little kids prayed on a cardboard cross. And I'm thankful I still got that cardboard cross. I wanted to share that with you because some of you guys may not know that. We outgrew the garage and the living room pretty soon. So we prayed and we asked God for a place to meet and we waited. Somebody told us, try the high school. Well, we did. We three went up there and prayed. And I met with the principal and he said, you know what, that's never been done before in Bartow County. But I'll ask. So he asked and they called me from the county and they said, well, we believe we're going to let you do that. Rent that space and that auditorium. I said, well, how much you asking? He said, we're going to ask $1 a week. I said, can I go ahead and pay for a year? So we did. We paid for a year. We had to prorate the utilities and insurance. But that rocked on about a year and a half. We got $1 a week. That's a deal, son. And then we had some opposition come up against us. It got tough, you know. Name calling. And folks went down to the board meeting. They're going to talk about that bunch up there. So me and Pax and David loaded up in that old town car of mine. Scared to death. Didn't know what to say, didn't know what to ask for. We were scared because if we got kicked out of there, we didn't have nowhere to go. We just didn't have nowhere to go. And nothing on the horizon. And then, as we prayed, the Lord didn't give us nothing to say except for just thank you. My thoughts were, that's it. And because these guys had all kind of homework done. They had their stuff. But God had prepared the way. She came out there and she asked me before we got started. I saw how a little inside politics worked. But I also saw how God had been working. She said, what can y'all afford? I should have said $2 a week. So I looked over David for that answer. And said, she said, can y'all afford 400 a week? Something like that, 300 a week. It was a good deal still because we had the whole school, just about. And so they renewed our contract. We went on for about 3.5 years. Well, then we all of a sudden Booper found this land. He said, hey, we got this land. And we thought, why break that old apple orchard? There's nothing there, because that was before Eagle Mountain, and that was before the school. That was before all of that. There's nothing there. But God wouldn't let us go. Is there a picture up there? Who is it? Yeah, that's it. We've torn that old barn down, that old house. But that's the old apple orchard. That's them boys who prayed for y'all. Did y'all know that? Them two on each end, them little bookends right there. They used to drive from Cobb County up here to pray for y'all. Did y'all know that? Their families came from Cobb County. They're here now. Y'all pray for their mother now, Lori. And the one in the middle, that big, tall, lanky, ugly one with the size 14 shoes. That's Blake Hamby. That's Paxton's son. We almost lost this land, but God intervened. Told David not to let go. Some old guy that never met him said, I don't know who you are, but I'm supposed to sell it to that church. David said, I am from that church. So we got this land, and it's the first and only time we ever borrowed any money to build the building that you're in now. We had people putting up their house and selling stocks and giving all they had and pledging a lot of money. We did it with red solo cups. We could tell where we owed. But people sacrificed so that you could be here. Then we borrowed close to $1 million to build this building. And it was the only time in 18 years. That's Luke on the right and Will Littlefield on the left. That's a Sprite commercial, ain't it? We came up here a lot. You can see from those pictures. When we worked on the land and we had a revival. Will was even packing there, wasn't he? Just like some of you guys are. But now we're legal to do it, all right? But we were in debt of close to $1 million. And it's the only time we've ever been in debt, and I never want to go there again. It was the only time, and I guess as pastor of North Point Church in these 18 years, that I didn't feel free. That I didn't have freedom. And I got it now, and I don't want that no more. I don't want you to be strapped to any debt, and I certainly don't want to be. But we finished the building and moved in 2002. And it begins to still be kind of a work in progress. And I thought last night, many people come and gone over the years. And I miss every one of them in different ways. But I miss every one of them. And I've learned from them. And the reason why we miss a lot of them, or the reason why a lot of them left, is we're a different church. We're different. I mean, if you've been in a church all your life, then the way we do things around here is probably going to be hard for you to swallow. It's just not going to be the same. For example, if you expect me to be at your house every time you sneeze, it ain't going to happen. See, we kind of designed it like Acts chapter 2, that we would minister to each other. So if you're not involved in a small group, you're not going to feel a part of North Point Church. And if something happens to you, nobody's going to know. And you only got you to blame, because I'm trying to tell you how we're set up. Don't expect me to show up. Now, if you need that, there's plenty of churches out there. We're just not it. Okay? Just so there's not any hurt feelings, we're not it. We're different. But people are still being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ here. And that's our main focus, is people that don't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And one's getting baptized today at 11. Tanner McCormick. I believe he's from Gordon County. They still need saving in Gordon County. He's about 19 or 20, good-looking boy. But I look at the things that's happened. And we have kind of a motto here at North Point, where Laura's always said that there's lots of books on how to start churches, and we've never followed none of them. Well, we tried. We read some, and we tried to do the planning thing, but it's just not us. I mean, it's kind of indicative of your leader. But here's what we do. We pray, we trust, and we wait. That's our three things. We were wanting a lady to lead the ladies. We prayed and we trusted and we waited. We were wanting something to do with the men. We prayed, we trusted, and we waited. Lots of things have happened. I can go on and on and on about that, and how God just shows up and does stuff. We prayed and we wanted to do something with the kids. When we first started, we were still in high school. Debbie Hamby walks in some antique shop over there beside S&H, but I guess it's now since burnt down. And you walked in that antique shop, and here's Brian Crow. Oh, you owned the antique shop. Brian walked in yours. I told that wrong in the 8 o'clock service. I knew you and Brian met in an antique shop, and it was beside S&H. It did burn up, though, didn't it? Because it ain't there no more. But all of a sudden, this guy walks in. He's an Awana missionary. They get to talking, and we're still doing Awana 18 years later, and kids are still coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we needed it. And now we've even expanded to XP at night on Sunday nights, kid stuff during the day. We got Celebrate Recovery going on Monday nights for everybody that's suffering from some hurt, habit, or hang up. And every one of us need that. Some of us are just too prideful to come. Every one of us need that. We got small groups going. We got Upwards Basketball, one of our single most successful outreaches that there is. Then we just got men playing basketball. And I'm going to tell you, that's been something pretty good. We got Forge that's all of a sudden started. We got Glow. Well, we got whatever happens here on Sunday morning, whatever you want to call what we do here. I call it worship. We got Glow. You can't hardly come up here on a given night and find this building silent. We got Impact over here, feeding 1,000 families a month. But in my mind, that ain't all we could be doing with that building. We got a couple of office spaces there that are empty. We need to do something in there. And guess what that building's doing today? Nothing. It's got a big old room there, and there could be a church meeting there today. So I'm praying for that to come about. I'm waiting and I'm trusting that here's the church. We could just let them use it. We could just let them use it. It's sitting there doing nothing. Why not do something about the kingdom of God there? Why not? We already got the chairs. It's set up. So if you're here, you're looking to start a church, see me afterwards. I might be speaking out of turn, but we're used to it. But that building ain't doing nothing. Guys, it's kind of like having a hot dog stand and only serving hot dogs one day a week. We got to do something. God's entrusted us with that. No use in us letting it sit there and not glorify his kingdom. Let's do something with it. Some of you guys may know some folks. That food pantry is amazing to me. It's really started by a lady named Betsy McBride. She saw a need in the community, just kind of done it on a real small scale. Back in the back, she would meet people up here. And she'd done that for a long time. She lived right over here at Eagle Mountain, and she'd meet people up here that needed, just in that little small area. And then she left and went somewhere, and then a lady named Carrie Reed came. And she expanded it back there from that little pantry, and it was bigger. And it kind of took over the building back there. I'll never forget, we didn't tell her we was looking at this building over here. She said, Jim, I just want to talk to you about something. She said, these guys have said we could do this, but we'd have to cut a hole in this wall right here. I said, Carrie, don't let them cut a hole in the wall. I said, I believe we got you a building. And we bought that building over there for $95,000. That and 2 acres, and at the same time, God blessed us buying this 10 acres beside us over here for another $50,000 or $60,000. But now Carrie left, and I think she's in Alabama now. But now Bob and Susan Williams are directors of the food bank, and it's gotten even bigger. It's expanding bigger and bigger and bigger. This is fun. I mean, there's something going on up here, there all the time. Boy Scouts meet here. It's something going on all the time. Chamber of Commerce meets here once a month. I love that this building is being used. I don't know if you guys know this, but that house at the end of the road, that's y'all's. Y'all bought it to house a homeless family and to be a joint effort with Good Neighbor Homeless Shelter to give people a leg up. Paxson's meeting with the folks. I know some of you guys are wondering, but we're wanting to widen this road down here. We may have to do a little wheeling and dealing and swapping and going on, but the road's going to be widened hopefully soon. We're revamping the babies department back here. I know some of you guys have noticed that, because we want to move from simply a babysitter to actually teaching the kids. I'm talking about from the womb to the burial is what we want to do. From the womb to the tomb. Is that, am I right?
Yeah.
I like it. We're going to, you know, that's what I believe, from the womb to the tomb. I like that. And don't forget, we got 55 acres up in Gordon County on Tucker Hollow Road. You know, and we got, just God's got a lot going on. Now we're in three services, 8, 9, and 11. And maybe that's why you guys have been asking me, because I did turn 55 this year. But it seems like a lot of people have been asking me in the last week or two, how are you doing? Jim, how are you doing? Do I look that bad? They said, you know, Jim, how you doing? How you feeling? Well, I'm good. I tell you, I feel better now, to be honest with you, than I did when I was in that picture with them two guys kissing me.
Wow.
I'm 55, and I feel like a spring chicken. I mean, I feel like I could take on every blasted one of you guys. But no, I feel good. I'm still committed to you as a pastor, and that's, it's, to me, it's my life, and I'm going to be here until I draw my last breath. I would love to just croak right here while I was talking to y'all. Not right now, not today. I ain't ready to go today, but I want to tell you, I'm still committed to you. I want to tell you that the elders and I still meet every Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, and we pray for y'all. Every one of y'all, we pray for y'all. We've been doing that for 18 years, every Wednesday morning at 6 a.m. I want to tell you that I meet with a mentor, James Collins, that try to once a week, but maybe every 2 weeks. I meet with him, and he helps me. And if you don't have a mentor, a man or a woman that's a little older than you, and you're not meeting with them on a regular basis, you're missing out. You're missing out. You better get you somebody a little older in your life. Because the older I get, the less of them they are. You better get them in your life. And I want to tell you, for some of you guys that know, want to know, I've been mentoring a young man for several years that I believe will take my place. That I believe. Will take my place as your pastor, because I love you and I don't want this to stop. And I hope that's a long way off, because I hope to be your pastor for a long time. But I'm happy, guys. I want to tell you, for those of you that wonder how I am, I'm happy. I'm very, very happy. Last weekend, I got to spend some time with some ministers. You remember, I'm from a volunteer church, and I'm not paid. But whew, I'm happier than they are. Money ain't got a thing to do with it, guys. Most of these ministers are miserable because they don't have the freedom to speak out of school, to set forth their vision. They don't have the freedom to say what their vision is. They got to say what vision the deacon board has. They got to say what vision the elders have, or they got to say what vision the lady in the kitchen has. But I believe if God sent me as your pastor, I ought to have a little vision.
Amen.
And I'm happy. To me, my life is so good. That's why I could suggest my job to anybody. Because I got the best gig going. My life is good this year. I married my daughter off this year. with a young man that I prayed for. And he's the right one. He takes care of her. And they're good together. And she don't cost me anything now. Some folks think that we won't be able to find people that have my same commitment or the elder's same commitment. I believe if God did it one time, he can do it again. Amen. I believe he can. We're unique, but we all go into the kingdom. He'll put somebody else in place. Huh? He's doing it. That's what I was going to say. He's doing it now. You see, we're mentoring men and women with GLOW and with the Forge and with our small groups. Men and women are being mentored. It's happening now. We ain't got to start doing it. He's going to do it again. Now, I want to tell you some of the things that I see. You may not agree with me, and it's okay if you're wrong. I still envision satellite campuses. I still see a satellite campus in Rockmart. Now I have a request from Bryson City, North Carolina. I still believe that should happen. I believe something else, and I pray that it'll happen this year. I'd like to give we're in three services. And I don't mind three services. I can talk all day long. But I would like to give our workers a break. I'd like to give our kid workers a break. And I believe we're better off if we have one service. We can't fit everybody in one service. We just can't. I went to a play of Natalie Castro's the other day. And it was done in the round. What I mean by in the round, the stage was in the middle. I believe the most economical thing that we could do is knock out that wall right here and just go out a little ways, leave the stage right here, and we could have more seating behind us. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm dreaming of, is to have this stage and we meet in the round, and that we could seat more people back here. And then that way we could go to one service and give those folks a break back there. That's just kind of what I'm seeing. This 55 acres that we've got up on Tucker Hollow Road, I don't believe God sent that lady that we never met to give to us for us to just sit on it. For us to just have, and for Jim, well, yeah, he could hunt on it. I almost said something I didn't mean to. He didn't give us that for me to hunt on, or nobody to hunt on. He gave us that to use for his glory. And I see that 55 acres, or maybe this 10 over here, as a place that we can build something for a retreat that could double as many different things. Because you got to remember, I don't see buildings any good unless they're being used. And just to build something for it to sit there is not any good. But I see it as a building for retreats. And examples of Chrysalis, Emmaus, homeless people to go live. I mean, just buildings and a place that we can do something over there, and then let other folks use it, whether it's businesses, other organizations, or whatever. Let them use it with a minimum cost or whatever. But I see us doing something like that. Amen. That's just me talking, but that's my vision. Anything that we can do to tell people and let them know that God loves them and cares about them, and spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it don't just stop here on this mountain. My vision is also that we keep going all across the globe. I would love to just financially support missionaries, that they don't have to beg for their money. they don't have to beg for them, that we could put them out there. Amen? That ain't such a bad thing, is it? I dream of freedom. Freedom's what I constantly dream for. And I love it. That we're not hampered by or hindered by any restraints. Only as far as the borders of this earth. Let's pray. My Lord, the dreams I have are scary, but I guess if they wasn't scary, they wouldn't be big enough. And we need you. I pray for the future leaders of North Point Church. I wish I could put my hands on that cardboard like Blake and Landon and Justin did. And Sarah and Courtney, Mallory. Sometimes I wish I could go back and see them doing that. I pray that we receive that enthusiasm that we had 18 years ago. Lord, and I ask you to bring the people alongside us. Lord, I ask you that as soon as I talked about what I saw, the wonderings and the dreams, that people saw that wall behind me coming down, ones that are able to do that, that have the ability to do that. Pray, Lord, I pray and I ask that those folks that are willing to be missionaries in some other part of the earth, that their hearts tweak too. Lord, we love you. We're different. You set us aside to be different. And I'm asking you, Lord, bring those people here. Bring those people here. We'll build a bigger building for them. We'll buy more food from the Atlanta Food Bank. And Lord, I pray for this future church that's going to be started at the Impact Center. I pray that many will come to know you through them. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.